Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
680 ESPN, Andy Sweeney.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Let me read you Andy Sweeney.
And James Strebel.
Let's see what this guy's little thing is here. Oh, Kyle, he covers Serie A soccer for RotoWire. He covers UK for ESPN 680 and A Sea of Blue. Jimmy V. Louisville member.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Where was the Louisville media in all this? Were they just fanboys, or where were they? Because somebody's talking somewhere, and, you know, they just allowed it to happen.
Texas says Jack's happy Big Rick's finally left the show. He can start giving his takes. Yeah, it's probably not a good thing to do, like, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, but I was like, yesterday was IU basketball media day, and we were going to dive in, and he was going to give a take on what happened yesterday at IU basketball media day, and then the grand jury came out in Lexington there, whatever technical term it is, and said no charges. Dismissed. The charges are dismissed against the Kentucky football players. We'll talk about that. We talked about it really, what, probably half the show, if not more than half the show. We're going to do so again. Braden Gall is going to join us here coming up in just a second. Do need to remind you, the 5 o'clock hour is presented by Cox's Spirit Shops and Evergreen Liquors. Cox'sLouisville.com. They are delivering right now all the premium cigars, all the beer, all the wine, the spirits, all that great craft beer selection at the Evergreen locations. Then you can get anything you want there. There you go. You want to have fun this weekend? You can do the damn thing. And do it there at CoxesLouisville.com. CoxesLouisville.com. Dan Dockage also is joining Outkick the coverage. That is an enjoyable story that we've got to as well today.
Mitchell Hannigan.
There we go. That's where we got that sound. And so we can have fun today as well. Texas says Florida's about to beat Kentucky by 40. Texas says Jack is so happy Big Rig has left the show. Show them Chess Sprouts Jack. Texas says, where's Big Rig? He left at what time? 4:30? He left at 4:30. Are you going to call Braden Gall or not? Okay, sorry. I'm just vamping right now, and you're looking at me. I'm like, we're having Braden Gall. Texas says, the sentiment among Louisville and Satterfield, Louisville fans in Satterfield, is literally the case. Every coach potentially being on the hot seat. I don't think so. I don't agree with that. I mean, Louisville fans were ready to move on. And I'm not saying you can't change your mind, but there was a feeling that it was inevitable what was going to happen. It was inevitable that they were not going to be good enough, and this is where it was going to end up, with a really difficult decision. I don't think that was like every single coach in the country. There are ones that are going through that. Hell, the USC coach has already been fired, but I don't agree with that. This was to a place to where, again, the Central Florida game helped change the direction of this season. Backing that up with the Florida State win, it changed the direction of a season that could have went down the tubes. Braden Gall joins us. Always love when we can carve out a couple minutes with him there down in Nashville. 440 Sports Athlon, ESPN Radio. Many ways you can find him at Braden Gall on Twitter. Braden, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Oh man, I'm doing well. Look at the games in college football this weekend. I don't know how you don't have a big smile on your face.
Well, which one gets you? Is it Bama, Ole Miss? Which one do you love the most?
Do you want me to answer cynically? Do you want me to answer sort of like pie in the sky, sort of like Pollyannish? Do you want me to answer
cynical? Cynical.
There could be a beheading at the end of the Auburn LSU game, like for the losing coach. I don't know.
A literal beheading, gladiator style.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you you know, Auburn can't get the right amount of people on the field, and they're firing their coach. Meanwhile, their head coach had, you know, is anti-vax with COVID early in the year. He missed camp in his first season as the head coach. Auburn's already a crazy place to try to be a head football coach in the first place. Meanwhile, you've got all the LSU drama with Coach O. Neither of these two teams look all that special. And it's a must see train wreck. So I don't know I just don't see, and sort of answering in a more honest way, just sort of down the middle, I just don't know if Ole Miss or Arkansas can keep either game particularly close.
Right, that's the worry.
I know that's my concern. Is Arkansas coming off of two really big emotional wins, really two physical wins against Texas and A&M. And to have to go to that level of physicality again on the road against Georgia, I think Ole Miss can score. I think the numbers are interesting. I think it's a 48.5 over under in Athens and like an 80 over under.
It's 48.5, but Georgia is favored by 18.5 in that game. In Alabama, the over under is 79.5, and public money will come in, and that will be 81-82 at halftime, or not at halftime, at the game. That'll be 81 at game time, I would imagine.
Yeah, so like those are really good games and like storyline games, right? Like they're going to be built up all week. We're gonna hype them all up in conversations like this, and we're gonna talk about Lane Kiffin and Sam Pittman being head coaches on the other guy's staff, right? Like both those guys working for the guy they're facing and all that stuff. I don't think Ole Miss defense and Louisville fans probably don't want to hear this, but I don't think Ole Miss's defense is really all that much better than people think. I think they're overvaluing how much better Ole Miss's defense is. I think Alabama's going to expose that.
Well,
I think that was just a bad performance by Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville's offense for the first 2 weeks of the season was deplorable. I mean, people wanted Satterfield out here. I mean, those are the conversations that we were having. People were done. The first two games, the loss to Ole Miss, and then they beat EKU, but like they couldn't run the ball, Braden. It's like you got to be able to run the ball. And then everything changed with the interception return for a touchdown. Everything. It's ridiculous.
Well, firing coaches, you guys are, you know, maybe you guys are an SEC town. Firing coaches after 2 weeks is very SEC football. So that's very much a way to overreact. I mean, I will say this. I think people are overreacting across the country. I think we just are in a strange year. I think it's going to be very 2007-ish, although I do think Bama and Georgia are just going to be at the top at the end, so maybe a little different than 07, but by and large, 2007 was when South Florida and Missouri and West Virginia were ranked in the top two or three. I won't name the other blue team that was in the top two at one point during that 07 season. But that was just a crazy year. You look at the ACC and teams are scoring 52 points a game.
That's a mess.
You look at Boston College is scoring 41 with a backup quarterback against an SEC team. Duke is scoring 50. Georgia Tech is scoring 45. And the Big 12 is playing defense. Like, what planet are we on? Like, the whole season is very, very strange already, which I love. And I think, you know, even though Ole Miss and Arkansas, I think, are going to get blown out this weekend, it doesn't take anything away from those seasons that those teams could have, and I think that applies to everybody across college football. So, like, I don't think Iowa or Penn State are going to win the Big Ten. I still think it's Ohio State, but it doesn't take away from the fact that those teams could have really fun and enjoyable seasons, and it's what makes college football great.
Does Clemson end up in the ACC championship game, do you think?
That's the one I really wish, and this also speaks to the overreaction, because this is about the time where people just start losing their minds. Like, Spencer Rattler should be cut from Oklahoma. Yeah, okay, dude, whatever. the guy led a fourth-quarter drive. He completed over 70% of his passes, and they beat a very good West Virginia team in a close game. Okay, they're not as great as they used to be. But to your point, I think NC State – everybody looks at NC State and beating Clemson and just goes like, oh, well, I think the casual fan across the country goes, oh, that's a terrible loss. Like, you can't even beat NC State. I'm going, wait a second. NC State, if not for a couple of bizarre play calls against Mississippi State, NC State's probably 4-0 and a top 15 team right now. They're very good along the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Putter Finley is a fantastic place. It's probably one of the most raucous places in the ACC, not named Death Valley. And God bless them, you can leave at halftime to go drink and go back into the stadium. Need to be like that.
Who can do that? Brayden, who can do that? Them in West Virginia?
Indiana
can do that too?
Indiana
okay.
Defend the Rock, baby.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I'm talking about the large ice cube I'm going to put my brown water on. I just think that that's a good football team. You mentioned West Virginia. Like, I think West Virginia, you look at their record, the casual fan who doesn't watch their games is not going to be, oh, West Virginia's not any good. Because everything has to be amazing or has to suck, right? There's no in between. And I think West Virginia at 2-2 is a pretty good football team. A top 25 defense statistically, just took Oklahoma to the wire. NC State, I think, is a pretty good football team. I don't think Clemson's two losses, back to your original question, Clemson's two losses are by one score to Georgia and in double overtime on the road at NC State. Like, those are two pretty good losses. There's still a 20-something percent chance they win the ACC and get into the playoff conversation. I don't think they're good enough to do that. I think there's going to be an upset,
right,
another one along the way.
Right,
but look around in the ACC. Like, who else is good enough? Like, North Carolina would have been the team we picked, but no. Is Wake and Boston College capable of? I love Jeff Hafley and I love Dave Clawson, but are those two programs capable of putting up an 11-1 season? I just don't know if I see that yet.
Brent Gall with us. Have you been surprised on the Clemson side how many big picture takes there have been about their time has ran out and everything? Trevor Lawrence isn't walking through that door. Because Louisville fans would love for that to be the case. They feel like they have a chance this year against Clemson, but they still have, a bunch of five stars. Quite a few.
Yeah, I think the opportunity to win this year, absolutely get more excited about it. I think that's 100% true. I think the Alabama dynasty over story has been written and been wrong so many times that does anybody not think Dabo Sweeney's going to be able to recruit offensive weapons in the future over the next couple of years? Of course not. So I think there's a few different ways we have to look at this. And you can look at Oklahoma with their offense maybe not being as good as the last couple of years, Ohio State with their defense maybe not being as good as it's been in the last couple of years, and then Clemson deteriorating on offense this season. It's just sort of we need to know what it actually is, what's actually happening inside the program. Is there an actual deterioration behind the scenes that is more permanent and more long-term that you should be concerned about? And I think a lot of that's tied to the coaching staff. I don't have that concern with Lincoln Riley on offense at Oklahoma or with Dabo Sweeney at Clemson. Do I think the coaching staff at Ohio State, they've got issues with play calling and, am I worried about Ohio State recruiting defensive players? No, I'm just not. So I don't think you have to look at those programs. Like, could Louisville beat Clemson this year? 100% they could have a better chance.
Right, but not in the long run. Right, right.
Is it a long-term concerning deterioration of the Clemson program, or is it maybe just the first time they're not going to make the playoff in 7 years? Alabama missed the playoff a couple years ago, right? It's just not, you can't be that perfect every time, even if you're Clemson or Alabama. And I think that's probably more what this is. And if he gets a couple of big time recruits in there to play receiver and running back and they fix their offensive line problems, all of a sudden DJ is throwing dimes everywhere and all of a sudden they're back to being Clemson. So I don't, get him now, I guess, is the message. Get him now while you can.
Brayden Gall with us. That's what people are saying about the New England Patriots. Get him now. If you're going to beat him, get him now when they're struggling. Brayden Gall with us there, 440 Sports Athlon. You can hear him, ESPN Radio. He's a very busy man. Find out everything that he's doing. I want to get to Kentucky and Louisville here in just a second. Last national one. What changed preseason Final Four to now with your college football playoff hopefuls? Obviously Clemson. We've talked about some of them, Clemson, Georgia, and Alabama are still great, but anybody else?
I'm not ready yet to sort of christen the rest of the Big Ten as being, even Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, Iowa. I think Iowa matches up extremely well with a lot of teams. I don't know if their quarterback can outscore somebody.
Right.
Penn State, I think, has got some sneaky upside. So I think the Big Ten has been very good. I'm also not ready to put Arkansas and Ole Miss into that category. Notre Dame is the perfect explanation of 2021 football. They are 4-0, and I'm not sure they're any good. And they've beaten good teams. It's not like they've beaten bad teams. They're not great teams, but you look at Purdue and you look at Florida State's obviously atrocious right now, but program names with players in Wisconsin, but they're still ranked in the top 10 somehow. Like, I don't, nobody else belongs there. So I don't know what you make of that. I would say that I still think it's, I had Georgia and Bama 1 and 2 coming into the season. My preseason rankings were Bama 1, Georgia 2. So that has not changed for me. Clemson is by far the biggest sort of, you know, not a panic meter. Oregon, I think, going on the road and beating Ohio State.
Yeah, number 3 in the country.
I think they're clearly number 3. After that,
who knows?
Oklahoma's my number 4, but almost by default, because 4 through 27 are about the same. Like, I just don't, it's hard to figure out who's really, really good. And that's okay. Like, that's
I love it.
I like it.
I love this season. No, this season's fantastic. Like, Louisville fans aren't butthurt that the ACC, you know, very well may not get anyone in the college football playoff. They're happy with Clemson losing games and being a winnable game. Make no mistake about it. That's what we're doing here. Well, you still like, and Brandon Gall with us, you still like Kentucky in your college football playoff rankings. You got them 15th, and they've played some iffy football the last 2 weeks, so I want to dive into that. What do you make of Kentucky at 4-0? And then today, I don't know how much you follow this, but Vito Tisdale, the 6 Kentucky players that missed the first 4 games, they had charges dismissed against them. And that did include Vito Tisdale, who is a big part of their defensive scheme there. They haven't been great the last 2 weeks. It's obviously number 10 Florida rolling into town. What do you make of that game, and where do you make of where Kentucky is right now?
Yeah, 90 plus handoffs on Saturday. I can't wait for that. I mean that, because I love double mouthpiece games. This is where you need 2 mouthpieces. I love it. But that's been the bigger concern for me. It's not the defense for Kentucky. It's been more of the offensive line, like 0 push against the Tennessee Chattanooga team. Like, you probably should have scored more points than you did against South Carolina, but also South Carolina had a chance to win. So that's a strange situation. I still think this is one of those games, because Kentucky has it circled and Florida's coming up. You come off the performance against Alabama, you show that there's no letdown, you beat an arch rival with Tennessee at home pretty easily by just grinding them down into a pulp. I do wonder about the emotional aspect of this, because all the extracurricular stuff is going to be on Kentucky's side. I know Kentucky broke the streak and everything, but this is still a game Kentucky has circled 16 times on the calendar, where Florida has it circled like 1.5 times. And you just want to, you know, that's the one thing I wonder about. And how much can you run Emory Jones 15, 20 times on a guy who's not the same size as Dak Prescott or Tim Tebow? He is not the same physical type of player as the guys that Dan Mullen's had in the past. So I am curious about that. But, I mean, they have been – Dan Mullen is pure, unadulterated offensive genius. Like, him and Lane Kiffin are the two best offensive schemers in college football for my money. So I'm fascinated with how he's doing it at Florida. I think that plays into Mark Stoops' defensive strategy traditionally. But can they execute this weekend against a Florida team that's more talented? On the flip side, you know, Will Levis has shown us some really impressive stuff, and then he's shown us some other stuff too. And so it's what are we going to see from that offensive line? I do think, and you guys know all about Todd, you know, Grantham-ing.
Oh yeah,
Todd Grantham. He's
going to blitz on third down.
Job.
Yeah.
He's done a pretty good job this season of sort of not Grantham-ing. I could see him doing something where he is, I'm just going to bring some pressure on 3rd and 6 against Will Levis, and all of a sudden Wandell Robinson is scoring a couple touchdowns, right? Like, couldn't you see that happening?
I
think that's where, if Florida outthinks itself on defense a little bit this week, I could see Kentucky scoring on a couple of big plays, making it a really close game, and all of a sudden we've got a dogfight in a low-scoring fourth quarter. So I like Kentucky. The only reason I've got them at 15 in my rankings is because, like I said, is it Texas? Is it Iowa State? Is it North Carolina? Is it Clemson? Is it Coastal Carolina? Is it Michigan State? Like, I don't know who belongs there, because I don't know how good any of these teams are. I'll learn everything I need to know about Kentucky this weekend.
It's being deemed as a prove it game, Braden. That's how it's a prove it game there at Kroger Field. So you feel the best football for Kentucky is absolutely in front of them, and that ceiling is high enough to where they're a respected team, because that's the point right now. Is the best football in front of them, just because the last 2.5 weeks have just been kind of ugly?
Right. Well, here's the thing. LSU could be a complete mess by the end of this Saturday.
Right.
You're not going to be Georgia.
Right.
Okay, let's just
yeah, they
give
know
them
that.
A loss. give them a loss to Florida. Even if you just play the way you did against Missouri, you are probably going to win every other game on your schedule. Like that's part of why I like Kentucky is I look at that schedule and I go, Mississippi State tricky, okay, at Louisville could be tricky, but otherwise you're probably if you lose to Florida, you beat LSU, you lose to Georgia, you're probably favored in every other game. Even if you lose to LSU, you're still probably favored in almost every other game. So if you play the way you did against Missouri with that kind of offensive identity and balance, they're going to be hard to beat because most of the teams on their schedule are just not particularly great. They're not bad. They're just not great. You're going to lose to Georgia. Let's just.
Right. Oh, yeah, they know that. Yeah, yeah. But Mississippi State, Louisville, Vandy's on there. Vandy's done.
Atrocious. Oh, like, it's atrocious.
I feel bad for him.
Tennessee's getting all kinds of, they're like, oh, they're buying in the new culture. And I've seen it. I'll learn a little bit more this weekend because their road trip to Missouri is a much lower point spread than I expected. But if they lose Tennessee has to play Kentucky right in the middle of one of the nastiest stretches of football in the country. They have to play Ole Miss, Alabama, Georgia, and in the middle they have to play at Kentucky. That's not a good spot for Tennessee. So I just don't see a lot of opportunities for guaranteed losses. It doesn't mean they're not going to lose a game, but I've got the over on the 7 wins because I look at their schedule and I think 8-4 seems very doable, especially with 4 wins out of the gate.
Dan Mullen pretty much admitted, hey, we rested some guys, Anthony Richardson being one of them. So I don't know exactly what they do with Emory Jones, who had some, has had some good moments, but also has more interceptions than touchdowns, obviously. What kind of team is Florida? How much have you seen of Florida? What kind of team is walking in to Kroger Field there on Saturday?
A very different line of scrimmage team than last year. Now last year, and I think this is true across college football, last year offenses were way ahead because if you're a nose tackle, there's no way to get reps at shooting your hands at a 300-pound guard, shedding him and making a tackle. You cannot do that without practice. So I think offenses that were running skeleton drills for 7-on-7 drills all summer long last year, I think the offenses were way ahead. I think defenses have made a big comeback this year. And Florida is one of those teams that, line of scrimmage-wise, they are far more physical on both defense and offense than they were last year. They're running the football a lot better and more creatively than we've seen because, again, Emory Jones, what he gives you. The Anthony Richardson thing is interesting because I think he wants to keep as much off of tape as possible for that event in Jacksonville later on this fall. And I think Mullen wants to keep as much of that away. So I think I lean towards, like Dan Mullen does, he sort of brings along his young stars very slowly. He kept Tim Tebow on the bench behind Chris Leak. I can see him slow playing Richardson because Emory Jones is a more established player. They're using him not with these big explosive 15, 20-yard runs, but they're using him on these, it's 2nd and 8, and he's going to pick up 7 yards for you on a scramble or on a speed option like he did against Bama, and all of a sudden you're looking at 3rd and 1, and then they're lining up and hitting you in the mouth. And so I love Dan Mullen's scheme. I love how brilliant he is, and I love how he uses the pieces. My question is, how many times can you run Emory Jones into a wall
right.
at 215? He's not 245. He's not 230. He's not one of these big dudes. He's a little thinner. So defensively, they are much, much better in the trenches. They're much, much better up the middle of that defense. They're still very good at corner. The only question there is sort of the play caller for the defense. But when you're the best team in the nation at running the football, and you've got Dan Mullen's offensive scheme, and you've got Florida talent, that's why you can. The Bama game was. I've never seen anything like the Bama game. I know they didn't win the game, but honestly, I've never seen Alabama do the preordained 21-3 thing.
Yeah,
and then just get beat every possession after that.
Yeah, the game was
Alabama
over.
Just got beat.
Yep.
Right. You see Ole Miss pull 5 turnovers and 5 short fields, and all of a sudden you're up by Bama on 3 touchdowns and you win. I've seen that happen. I've seen the upset happen. I've seen Joe Burrow and 47 NFL players beat Alabama. I've seen Trevor Lawrence and 36 NFL players beat Alabama, but I don't think I've seen a team take the first half beating, and then regroup and then beat you on offense and defense. Florida beat Alabama almost every possession of the second half on both sides of the ball.
That's unbelievable.
And that is not something you normally see, and that is what would concern me if I'm a Kentucky fan.
All right, last one for Brain Gall. Got to get him out of here. Louisville, we talked about them a little bit earlier. It was done. The season was going to be a mess, and against some okay teams, or Florida State, a terrible, terrible team, a team that's a mess. But the season has turned around, 3 straight wins, 3-1, with a top 25 team going at Wake Forest. I haven't seen much of them, but Louisville, I think they got a chance in this game. And you look at their schedule, and there's a ton of winnable games there. Things have been steadied. Do you have any opinion on where Louisville is?
It's a lot of winnable games. It's also a lot of losable games, too. Boston College is even without their starting quarterback, is a pretty good football team. Wake Forest is fascinating because of they've got, a veteran quarterback, knows exactly what to do with the football. Defensively, that's one of the better showings I've seen from Wake Forest. You know, Brendan Armstrong for Virginia has been slinging it all over the yard.
Well, his numbers are ridiculous.
They played very well on defense on Friday night, and we know what the offense can do. Again, this is the best stretch of football Wake Forest has ever had in the history of its program in the last 6 years. And so now you've got an established quarterback. You start 4-0 almost every year. This is a good Wake Forest team. So this is not Louisville's going to – if they continue this resurgency and the quarterback plays better and all of a sudden they get to 7 or 8 wins, they will have earned every bit of it. Because Boston – I mean, again, Syracuse and Duke, okay, fine. But Boston College, NC State, Clemson, Wake Forest, Virginia, those are teams with identity. Like, even Virginia, like, that's a Bronco Mendenhall coach team with an identity. And so I think if Louisville gets to a 7 or 8 win season, I think they will have earned it. If you get Syracuse and Duke, you still need a couple other ones to call it a really successful year. But I would call that that's absolutely a bounce back season for Louisville. And then, of course, as is the case with every state in the Southeast, between the ACC and the SEC, your happiness is dictated entirely by what happens on the final weekend.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I mean, people have been bleep talking. Kentucky fans were talking big bleep, and now Louisville looks like, you know, they're alive at least. They're alive, and if they get to 7 wins with a chance to go to a bowl game, then the fan base around here will see some growth. There's no doubt about that. Braden, you're gracious with your time. Always appreciate it. Take care there in Nashville. We'll keep hearing you. ESPN Radio, Athlon, 440 Sports. You're a busy man, and thank you for carving out some time.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. It's a pleasure, guys.
All right, thank you. There you go. Little Brain Gall on a Tuesday here on The Take on ESPN 680, 105.7. Texas says, ask Brayden if IU is going to win a Big Ten game this year.
I mean, not this weekend. Probably not. They've literally never won at Penn State, and Penn State's a top 5 team in the
country.
You'll
like this.
So
last night I was listening to you and Scotty D, and Scotty D goes, I can't bet. You know how he talks. He goes, I can't bet, okay? He goes, but what's that spread for Penn State, Indiana? And you go, it's 10.5? Or was it 8.5?
Yeah, I think it's 10.5.
Okay, but he goes 10.5, and he goes, and just, like, sat there for a couple of minutes. Scotty D was sitting there thinking, really? He was thinking, damn. I think Kentucky's in a bad spot.
I think they are, too.
Okay. All right, yeah.
This is where we miss Strieble. Can he push back on it?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know if he would push back on it.
Let me ask you this.
If they get beat up, if Florida's able to run the ball on them, okay, and Kentucky, you know, they do enough offensively to keep it a game for a little while, but you get into the fourth quarter, late third quarter, and suddenly you're like, okay, even with the new offense, we're not set up to score this much. And, like, there's many people that believe this team's much better, even though, you know, Kyle Trask goes to the NFL, Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts, and, you know, the guys that Florida sends to the NFL. But as a team, this team's better. Now, I don't like Emory Jones. But Emory Jones, he showed a little bit of sack against Alabama.
He sacked up.
Oh, okay. He did sack up like Dockett or sackless. But I don't know. I hear Brain Gall talking. I'm thinking, oh, Kentucky. I'm thinking this ain't good. What is that one? Is that one 8? 8.5? Is it that much or is
that
it a touchdown?
One's 8.
Is it 8?
Yeah. And I'm going to bet Florida.
Are you really?
One, yes.
When are you going to do that? You going to go across the river? Or what are you going to do?
Probably Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
On my way in. the station's normally when I do it.
Texas says, great guest. Well, we appreciate it. Jack appreciates it. Yes. Brent Gall is very good. Let's take a break. The Exonerated Six, you know we can talk about that. Some new listeners change over. We'll talk about that. We'll get you to 6 o'clock into your night here on ESPN 680.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
You know the saddest thing that I've ever said on this show? Grossman, I'm getting ready to tell you. Are you ready right now?
Tell me.
Are you ready right now? This is the saddest thing. I paid for Peacock Plus yesterday.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
I like this. We should start playing only music like this instead of like aggressive music. Just like... like happy music. Is this Justin Bieber? I have no idea. What's it labeled as? Does it have any label?
I mean, that was 2:30 when I labeled it. It's now 5:30. I just very much clicked it and made sure it wasn't another one that I'd already used.
Texas says the Exonerated Six. I guess blank didn't get them good enough lawyers. There's nothing I can do, right?
No.
Texas says, how are you guys not ripping UK fans right now? I have a ton of fans in my timeline that think they can compete with Florida. I mean, how many times do you want me to go down this road?
I mean, it's the same thing every year with Kentucky.
Of course there's domes that think they're... I mean, I wouldn't even say... I mean, the spread's 8.5 or whatever for Florida. So that's not like... like if they lost the game 28-20, we're not going to come in here on Monday and say they got blown out.
No.
Okay? So that would be, to me, when you're playing a one-score game against a top 10 team in the country that you lost to 30-some-odd times in a row.
Yeah, being one since like 1988.
Yeah, there's no one. That's not being blown out. That would be hanging in at least to some extent. We'll have to see how the game plays out with Florida. But no, anyone who does the Georgia thing is a problem. Georgia's favored by 18.5 right now.
Over the number eight team in the country.
18.5 right now. I'm like kind of like legit like cheering for Georgia. Because they always do really well, but they never win it all, right? Like, Florida State's doing terrible, but they won the championship. When's the last time Georgia won the national title?
It's been decades.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're you getting a text?
No,
I'm pulling. Oh, okay.
I'm pulling it up.
Let me see here. The last time a local team played a Florida team, nobody gave them a chance. Sprinkling the fact that Jack gave his schoolgirl laugh about betting like that with UCF. I'll take my cats. He's pitiful since reality has sunk back in for his Hoosiers.
1942 and 1980.
Here's what I don't like. I will say this about Jack. Jack needs the... him being a fan of a crappy team has made it to where people... A, just don't care about Indiana, or B, they didn't have any respect anyway, okay? And maybe C, Mitch isn't here to begin to lead the charge. But Jack has taken no flack for Indiana could be tragically terrible this year. Like, the Big Ten, like, they could lose all these games. And this is the last Indiana thing we're doing. Actually, not at the end. Yeah, at the end, you're ending today's show. Did you watch the Media Day stuff, basketball, any of it?
I have not watched it yet. I was going to watch some of it because I'm recording tonight, and I'm going to watch some of it before I'm recording tonight.
Well, how about this? Then we'll do it tomorrow.
All right.
You be ready. So you're recording the podcast tonight.
Yes.
Tonight. Okay. Yes. All right. Well, there you go. All right. Well, there you go. Texas says, I want Georgia to beat UK like they beat Vandy. Well, yeah, that'd be hilarious. Yeah. No, that happened last year. It's called Alabama. Alabama did that to Kentucky last year, if you remember. Just quickly, I mean, Jack, we should do. Do you have anything to add? I mean, I feel like here is one of these things today that I am I'm stuck in the middle a little bit here, okay? Because I don't know if I have anything fresh or new other than what I have said for the last 2 hours. If you're just joining us, the Kentucky players, the six Kentucky players, that, you know, I mean, the grand jury, no charges, has dismissed the charges, and that has been the newsy, you know, aspect today of today's show. But there's also the funny. There's like the Blankenbaker side. And so that's what the text line was. We gave you that for about over half the show before Brain Gall. And I am so glad this story's over. Can I be honest for a second? I am so glad this story's over. And listen, I've been up front. I was wrong about Vito Tisdale. I was wrong. I have fallen on the sword, bent the knee. I've said it repeatedly. I'm never believing drunk frat dudes. I'm never believing, you know, football players and the people around them have a big time agenda. And sometimes the media around them. This story, Jack, because of what it turned into with this pissing and moaning match. I mean, Jack, we did an entire Blankenbaker medley. Like, I
should
mean,
we play the medley?
I don't even know. Was it all about this?
Yes. It was all about this.
And it puts me in a bad spot. It puts me in a bad spot because it's fundamentally funny. Okay, but it also pisses me off. How it does, to a certain extent, how this story just became
him.
It just became UK and U of L people who wanted to do verbal terrorism against each other. That's all it became. The story wasn't about, hey, did a football player punch a woman? It wasn't about that at all. If the story wasn't, hey, was there a gun, and the seriousness of the allegation that there's one of the main football players on Kentucky packing heat around a bunch of drunk people, right? Like, it wasn't about any of that. It was about, can I get you? And then that happens here. I get it. It's just, I am so happy that this damn story is over. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm just so happy. How long is that medley?
It's about, if I remember correctly, about five and a half minutes. You want me to pull
it
up?
It was 5 minutes, was it not? Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness. Texter says, let's see here, has Cream's podcast numbers overtaken the subscribers of the True Degenerates? Absolutely. Absolutely. Texter says, to quote my UK buddy, quote, I don't know, historically they've been pretty even. I don't believe any Kentucky fan has said that. I don't believe that. Listen, if there is a Kentucky fan out here that would say anything like that, they would need to have their head examined. They know that's the case. They lost for 30, was it 31 years? Was it 33 years? Get out of here. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Texas says, did the sheriff have to give back his badge?
I mean,
yes, he did. He did.
I mean, today's become the Big Blue Militia charging.
Would you want to, right now, how do you want Blank to play this? Do you think, does he go down fighting?
I think we've already seen on Twitter, he's going down fighting.
Well, no, but that means he's going to have to, like, he tweeted about this like 40 times in like a couple hours. Does he do, I mean,
do you think
he's not going to do that?
Do you think he's in too deep to just say, I'm wrong, and just try to play that card? Is he in too deep to do that?
I want you to mark that. That has to be something that we play. It's just, it's funny. It's you just saying that. Well, it's not even right or wrong. It's that part of the story. Texas says, I guess UK did put their guns down. I'm so happy this story's over. I am so happy this story's over. It's different when it's like on the field or even simple things off the field. But this story, which needed to be at one point handled with care, to when it involved women being hit allegedly by, you know, football. I mean, you would be talking about massive men running in and wailing away and punching people. And not only guys that look like Creener Eye, but women. Okay? And about, like, hey, guns are really dangerous. There's a lot of alcohol. There's a lot of bad blood. There's a lot of fill in the blank, right? I mean, it was a story that really needed to be handled with a little bit of care. And we didn't. Everyone threw feces on it. That's what happened. I mean, that's what it became.
What happens with every story.
It became BBN versus U of L. And I understand that happens, but that's... My point is the nature of what people thought the crimes were are more serious than a guy taking some money, right? Like if you want to use Brian Bowen as an example. Ugh. Anyway,
the medley's roughly 5 minutes. If you want to play,
you want to give me just the beginning so we can hear some. I can't play. I can't do that for 5 minutes.
A great deal about this.
And it had a sketchy decal on the door that said "Emergency Response" on it.
Jack, I remember this.
No, that's not a police car. Something weird is going on.
The guy behind the wheel rolls down the window.
He looks at me and says, "Who are you?" And I said, "I'm the sheriff. Who are you?"
I'd known about this investigation a while, and
Jack.
Justin Rowland put out his little, it was on a message board that, there was an investigation. I said, why is he being investigated? Why does nobody know about this? Well, when that happened, some of the victims that are of the six people that were arrested yesterday from UK football reached out to me. And I've been in contact with them for the last 2 weeks. I've been talking with them. I've been getting their account.
It's a one seed.
I make a lot of jokes about state-sponsored media and things like that with Kentucky. And quite frankly, I didn't even expect some of the things I saw come out last night. Specifically from Kyle Tucker. I thought it was really embarrassing. The things that Kyle was putting out there. Full transparency. The people that were victimized reached out to the media in Lexington, too. So there are people in Lexington who have had this story since around April and didn't do anything with it.
Oh, that's enough. Oh, that's what the people want, though. They want 5 minutes of that. Texter OJ was found not guilty, too. You know what we should do?
We can pivot to docking sound if you wanted to do that.
I think what would be funny, and this is what we do tomorrow, okay? This is what we do tomorrow. We need to loop the medley. Loop it on Cool Edit, whatever. For like 30 minutes.
Oh, no.
And play it underneath the show.
But
have it off, but have it playing. And then randomly, I'll just point to you, and you'll just pot it up, and we'll listen to it for 10 seconds, 15, 20 seconds, and then you pot it down. But it's running the entire show. It's running the entire, like you just started over again. And we'll just see where we land.
I'm down.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man.
Oh, goodness. I'm not going to read that one. Not going to read that one. Not going to read that one. Texter at 540. Sweeney vetoed. Not going to read that one. Texter says UK fans weren't the ones pushing for innocent black kids to be locked up. Louisville fans were. And here's what I would say.
If the roles were reversed.
Another tender conversation that was tossed aside in all of this.
Yes.
Because what happened there is when race was brought up, that became divisive of why are they saying that now? Well, this individual's just trying to, what was the guy's name? Was it like Denny Butler or something or something like that? Anything he said. But was either gospel or it was discredited immediately. Wow, you're not going to trust him. What are you going to say? I mean, that's. I'm so happy this story is over. I'm so happy. So happy this story is over. Texas says, tell Jack to lay the toilet sounds under the blank sound. Texas says, I'm actually in agreement with you on the whole situation. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's see here. 437-9680. Let's see. What do we want to do here? Do you want to play some more Dock and Sound? Or what do you want? Let me ask you this quickly, Jack. Is there something
else?
We
do need to play this Bob sound.
We can play the Bob sound.
Yeah.
Is there something else I'm missing here with all of this? I know it's going to be viewed. Listen, I'm not stupid, even though some of you think that I am. I understand that it's going to be viewed as, by many on the Louisville side, it's going to be viewed as, well, of course that happened. Right? Yeah. Yeah, well, of course that happened. And I am one to be skeptical. Here's my issue. I am one to be skeptical of leadership at any level. Right? Like I just am. That's the way that some people are programmed. So when I see this, there is a part of me that is saying, of course this was going to happen. But I also thought it was also always going to happen. And what I keep going back to is, I don't know. We don't know any of the evidence here. I mean, even if you give me a picture of a guy who's got a black eye, how can you tell? I don't know if that came from the fist of one of these six players. And
if you're a Louisville fan, you're assuming that it is. If you're a Kentucky fan, you're assuming
it
is.
Yeah, and that goes back. But I guess that would be – I have always been skeptical. But to a certain extent, when it goes through this process that it's went through, that these guys have went through, and it comes out the other side that charges were dismissed, what else do you want me to do? I mean, it would be ignorant if I came on here and started waxing poetically about the Fayette County. Is it even the county grand jury? Who is it? What's the grand jury's name? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I start waxing poetically about all these different attorneys and politicians and all these people who are part of that, I don't know who any of them are. I don't know the process here of what's going on, and that's just going to be, I mean, the ignorance from this is, I mean, the dismissive nature at the very beginning, and I would say the dismissive at the very beginning was bothersome, and how this is going to be some big conspiracy that these guys went in and beat up a bunch of women and everybody in the system covered for them on a bunch of football players. One, maybe two of them were going to have any sort of say. Listen, I'm cynical, but if you're willing to say that, I'd put your name on that.
Right.
I'd put your name on that. It's like the texter that did that. You need to look into the judge and Josh Ali. No, you need to. I'm a sports radio gas bag. If you believe, okay, that what's going on in Lexington is that scary, okay, then you need to go do something about it if that bothers you. Texas says the race part is important. I get the blank was caught in the rivalry, and Louisville fans are desperate for something. Maybe should I read the rest of that one?
I mean, Blank did at least, you know, shoot his shot. He went for it. He ended up being wrong, but
I'm going to let him talk. He can talk for himself. I'm sure he'll be tomorrow. Texas says, Andy, your blue is really showing today. I thought you were truly unbiased. I guess not. No, I just think that this story was weaponized, that a bunch of Louisville people thought, I am going to be able to shine and bag on Kentucky and act like Mark Stoops is running a crazy program, which, by the way, he might be. I mean, we have said as much. But you weaponize that and use that and use the racial aspects and the chance that women may have been hit in a fight and all of that, to use that as a weapon to fight BBN. No. And that's ignorant. Especially now that we have what the end result is, that these guys are back at practice. Yes. Yes. That's exactly what it is. I am unbiased. Well, everyone's got a bias one way or another. This is common sense. This has nothing to do with red versus blue. If you see it another way, that's because you want it to be another way. That's because you wanted those players to be guilty of having guns. You wanted, Vito Tisdale to be guilty. That's what you wanted.
You wanted to have something to trap you.
You wanted football players at Kentucky to hit women so you don't have the woe is me. And if Kentucky did it, and Kentucky's done it, okay, for the last 5 years, people made a lot of money in the media doing that against Louisville. I understand that, but I'm not talking about Katina Powell or the NCAA right now, okay? Okay, and also, many of the things there are not things that were breaking down in the court of law. Katina Powell is her entire thing. Let's see here. 437-9680. Y'all never keep that energy with U of L. I have no idea what that even means. I have no idea. I keep a lot of energy. When stories break, I'm the one that's always on the air more than anybody. That's how I know what my energy is. Texas says it's disturbing that people were hoping that the allegations were true. Texas says, give me a break, Sweeney. The judge's son played for Stoops. Of course, they're getting dismissed. That's the wrong story. You're an uneducated person. 3332, the last four.
What story is he talking
about? You are an uneducated person, and you need to educate yourself if you're going to talk about matters. It's the only thing that bothers me with this. It's the only thing. If we were talking about stupid NCAA stuff, let's say Chris Mack gets beat over the head for having these stupid videos, okay? I am going to be on record that it's a stupid thing. That it's stupid.
Which it
okay?
is a stupid
it's
thing.
It's a stupid thing. Now, you could take that, well, then don't do it if it's a stupid thing. You could say, well, the NCAA, why do you care about such a stupid thing? But that's not this. Again, you're gonna the energy you need to have is the energy, if there was something racial, the energy of men hitting women and also having a gun. Have energy towards that instead of BBN versus L1C4. Have energy towards the things here that really matter. Nobody did. And that's fine. And neither did I. I didn't. I didn't have that. I wasn't out there saying, hey, guys, we need to slow the roll. I was a failure in that as well. But now that we sit here today and we have in front of us, if you will, what you know, is going. I mean, these guys are going to play. Vito Tisdale could play. He's going to play in some capacity on Saturday. I would hope we would learn something a little bit different. And, yes, I have a lot of energy. I have a lot of energy. Texas says, you speculate on everything in life, but won't speculate on the judge. You're a hypocrite. First of all, hypocrite is spelled with an E at the end. 0302, you also are uneducated. You are an uneducated person. You are given an iPhone that when you spell hypocrite wrong, it tells you, hey, jackass, spell it with an E. You're an adult, and you pick not to do that. You pick not to do that. Yes, you can speculate. What I'm saying is, put your name on your speculation that you believe that that everything in Lexington, that any UK player can do anything. Put your name on it and then do something about it. If it offends you that much, which it does, so many of these fans, it offends them to their core, then do something about it. Then don't bitch to me on the text line. Texter says here, let's see here, 437-9680. I'm not going to read that one. Texter says, does Strieble have more kids besides Kellen?
No.
Texter says, while I was at the Frog with Strieble, I saw Big Dog paying off the judge. Use that same energy. Use that same energy. No, quit being an idiot. How about that? Here's energy. Quit being a moron. I got called a moron by Dan Issel. There you go. I did. Texas yes, says, Sweeney throwing haymakers. Texas says, let him have it. No, the disingenuous people. God, it's so disingenuous just to make this a UK U of L thing, just to do the UK U of L thing. It's showing how little you care about the actual alleged crimes. That's what it is.
It does go on both sides.
I don't need to say that, but Jack, that's not what we're talking about here.
Yeah, no.
Okay,
no,
the Louisville football team didn't do anything wrong, and the Kentucky people didn't mobilize against the football team. This is a Louisville people that are acting like this. To me, it's childish, and we do a lot of childish stuff around here. But it shows how little they actually cared about the people involved. They didn't care at all that was the case. That maybe somebody was punching a woman at a party. They didn't care about that. They just were like, finally, it's been 5 years. Sorry, you need to hear it sometimes, and I'm here to tell you. And yes, the reason I interrupted you, Jack, is at some point, this show doesn't need to do what Jack just did. You know you're getting that here. You know you're getting that here. If this happened, if everything was flipped, listen, I've been clear with this, that Mark Stoops, if this would have played out differently, that Josh Ali stuff still hasn't played out. If this would have played out differently and two or three of the guys maybe, you know, were dismissed, like, and I was probably expecting more of that, but Vito Tisdale and the gun thing was out there, and there are a couple players that they had obviously some sort of evidence, then yes, this conversation today isn't let's have fun with blank or anything else. It's this is going to the next step and is absolutely a terrible mark on Kentucky football. Absolutely,
and everyone
a terrible mark
dismissed it right
on Kentucky football. But it goes back. Right. Well, Andy, it could have happened. Yes, all of this stuff could have happened. Something happened that night, and I'm stuck here saying and this is what I think ultimately happened. Where's any evidence? Who the hell to believe? And in this situation, obviously, neither side was too believable. That's just how I feel. Texter says another L for Louisville. I don't even see it that way. No, it's not an L for Louisville. Louisville's won 3 straight games in a row in football. They just got Caleb Glenn. No, and they think they're going to get Rodney Rice. No, this has nothing to do with it. There are people. That want this to be, well, Louisville took an L. No, they didn't take an L. The people that made this a terroristic threat, okay, on social media, they took an L. That's who took an L. And there's a bunch of people out there that did that. Texter says, is it a coincidence that parent-teacher conference night is the same night as the zoning hearing in Clarksville for the Clarksville Ministries LLC? You know what that is? That's Theater X.
Oh.
You like that?
That's great. That's where he's actually at. That's why he was all dressed up and everything.
Texter says, I like how you tried to leave out the part about the police report. What about that? I what did I leave out there in anything that I've said? What did I leave out? Texas says, to me, it's a lack of evidence from either side that is frustrating. All we have is hearsay, no evidence for it or against was released. Absolutely. And that's what we're going to have here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Texas says, the judge is corrupt. You're an idiot if you think otherwise. There we go. There. No, so, you're an idiot. No, it's okay. It's okay. We are here to help you. We can be an idiot hotline. You're the idiot. There you go.
I think I know the answer to this already, but is there any chance the next time a story comes out?
No. It's going to be the same thing.
It's going to be the same thing. Just a cycle that gets repeated over
not,
and over again.
It's not, Jack, it's you not really the story.
Well, yeah.
It's the nature of the story.
Right, but do you think that maybe we've learned...
No. We've learned nothing.
Okay.
We've learned absolutely nothing.
What's the point of going through all this crap? Nothing. No one ever learns anything.
Nothing. What's the point of me talking about Kentucky football all week knowing they're going to lose to Florida? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
What would they do for Louisville, Kentucky
you know
if
what?
They actually win this weekend?
Bleep Strebel. Honestly, Bleep Strebel. Leaving me out here like this today. Leaving me out here to start having to spout off hot takes instead of having fun. Oh, my goodness.
What happens for Louisville the rest of the year if they
I don't care.
Beat Wake Forest? You don't care? All right.
If they beat Wake Forest, they'll be in the top 25 next week.
Yeah.
Won't they?
Yeah. Well,
maybe. Oh, the texter says the lock leave-outs you're doing are absurd. Like what? What lock leave-out am I doing? I have no idea. Texter, same one. Give me a break. Sweeney, the judge's son, played for Stoops. It's just They literally, these two people might be the dumbest people that are on the text line. I don't block people on the text line, but if I did and I were Diener, I would block those two. All right, let's get out of here. Enjoyable show. So there you go. It's an enjoyable show. So I hope everyone has a good night. I'm sure I'll be ripped many times for anything that I've said, and I cannot wait for that sound to make it my way. Have a good night. Bonus hour next. Unfortunately, Reds baseball at 7:40.